You know, certainly as you look at the period of the 4 years, we were able to get a lot of things done. By the same token, there are things that I would have liked to have seen done that we were not able to complete. A lot of those things deal with City Water, Light, and Power. Certainly we would have liked to have been able to solidify the financial position of the electric division. I think with what we are in the process of doing in the renegotiation of the coal contract, which is going to lower the price of coal, and coal is the single largest factor in the production of electricity. It amounts to about 30% of the cost. That is going to produce substantial cost savings for the electric division of City Water, Light, and Power, and improve the cash flow. Secondly, would have liked to have done a restructuring of the way we charge for electricity. If we take a look at Ameren, for example, Ameren has a base charge of somewhere, depending upon where they're serving, of about $15 to $18 on a monthly basis. For a residential customer in the city of Springfield, that charge is $5.76. One of the things that we do is we are more subject to price fluctuations based on the usage of the ratepayers that are buying our electricity. And what we really need to do is to raise our base rates, and that's for residential as well as commercial, and then at the same time reduce the actual cost of the electricity, and this can be approached on a revenue-neutral type of basis, which would then take out the large fluctuations for both the electric division as well as the ratepayers, so that when we have a cold winter, they're not getting very high bills during very cold months. And when we have a hot summer where they're not getting very high bills during those periods, we had also hoped that we would be able to get an answer out of the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA with regards to Hunter Lake, either that yes, we can build it, or no, we can't build it. The city of Springfield has expended over $30 million on the project thus far, and I think it is important that we get an answer out of the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA with regards to whether we can move forward with it or not. If we are given permission to move forward, then I think it's something that the city ought to do. CWLP has just updated some studies looking at the alternative water supplies and what the potential cost of those supplies are. And as we look at that, Hunter Lake is by far the most favorable and the cheapest way to proceed. So those are some of the things that we would have liked to have been able to accomplish over this four-year period. I think we've made progress in each of those areas, but there's work that needs to be done.
Well, Mayor, how do you think history is going to look back on your administration on this 4 years?
Well, you know, I'm not going to worry too much about that. I think that we have made a great deal of progress over the last 4 years. I think that as we look at the city of Springfield, we came in, and to say that things were a mess is an understatement. The city, for the fiscal year before I took office, and our fiscal year ends on February 28th. For practical purposes, I came into office on May 2nd. We were into the new fiscal year. The previous year to when I came in, the average daily balance in our general fund was just a little over a negative $3.5 million a day. This last fiscal year, which ended February 28th, 2015, that average daily balance was just at $9 million. That's a $12.5 million turnaround in a four-year period of time. And if we don't think in terms of taking money from the pilot away from the general fund balance, we would have been ending this current fiscal year at the highest level the city has ever seen, So we have had a substantial impact with regards to the finances of city government. At the same time, when I came into office, the city was battling with the Federal Railroad Administration as to whether or not high-speed rail should go down 3rd Street. We were not only able to obtain a ROD with regards to that, which a ROD is a record of decision from the Federal Railroad Administration that they would use 10th Street, which was something that many people said would never happen. We have also been able to secure a Tiger grant from the Federal Railroad Administration for $14.4 million. In addition, we were able to get money from the Illinois Commerce Commission through their grade crossing program that has allowed us to put an underpass in that's under construction right now that will be completed in September of 2016. We were able to also trade some land with St. John's Hospital. So that is the first usable segment that is being done for the 10th Street corridor. We have received a second grant of $2 million from the Federal Railroad Administration out of a pool of less than $20 million on a national basis towards another underpass at 10th and Carpenter. We are also in the process of applying for another Tiger grant, a request to do the underpasses at both 10th and Ash and 10th and Carpenter.
And when it comes to rail relocation, there has been progress on that issue, but is there still a reason to be concerned going forward?
I think that given the fact that we have received two grants from the Federal Railroad Administration, this project is going to happen. And again, it's imperative that it happened. I've often said that there is no project or issue more important to the future of the city of Springfield than moving the trains from the 3rd Street tracks to the 10th Street rail corridor. We've made great progress with regards to that. We've had strong support from our congressional delegation led by Senator Durbin, but also from Senator Kirk, Congressman Davis, and Congressman Schock thus far. And fully anticipate that this is a project, while it is a 10 to 20 year project, is something that is going to happen here in the city of Springfield.
Back in the election in 2011, you at the time said you would run for one term and that was it. You changed your mind on that. Do you look back at that? Was that a mistake to make that pledge at that time?
Well, first of all, at the time I was running in 2011, what I said was my plan was to serve one term, and that was my plan. As we were into this, we were in the middle of a lot of things I would have liked to have seen come to fruition, and I decided that after much thought and debate within my own family, that I should try to serve another 4 years. The people of the city of Springfield had different thoughts, so we just simply will move forward.
When you go back and look at that, any other mistakes you think that you made during your time in office?
You know, when you deal in hindsight, it is very, very easy to see where you could have done things differently or done things better. And hindsight is always 20/20. One of the things that I think anyone that's in a position where they're doing something similar to what I am doing, either in the public or the private sector, you're constantly looking at what you're doing and what you've done, and then figuring out ways to do it better, and then implementing those ways as you move along.
If you add your time in office back in the 1980s and up till now, when you look back, how does it compare the time that you spent the first two terms in office to the most recent one?
Well, first of all, when I came into office in 1979, I walked into a city government that was operating, that was functioning, and that was in good financial shape. You know, that was a much different situation that I walked into in 2011. Basically, as you look at city government, the way we deliver services today, and when we look at city government, our three largest departments and expenditures in city government are to provide police protection, fire protection, and our public works services. Those are basically being done the same way today that they were being done in 1979 when I first came into office. Now, having said that, one of the things I also say is that when you add the advent of computers and cell phones, everything has changed. So, the situation today is certainly a much different situation than I walked into in 1979. When we look at the financial demands and on governments at any level, particularly at the local level, given the recessions that we went through, the impact that that has had on revenues, that is a much different situation. When we look at the regulations that have been promulgated by both the federal and state government, it becomes a much different operation. As we look at the unionization of the city of Springfield, that is a much different situation than when I left office in 1987. And as you look at the rules that have been promulgated by the state labor board in what we have to bargain for and the way we operate city government, it certainly makes the operation of city government harder and more complicated.
Well, on Thursday, you will have a successor who will take over, Jim Langfelder. He will take the oath of office. Do you have advice for him or any advice that you've passed along to him?
Well, first of all, I think that anyone who runs for mayor has ideas in terms of how they want to approach them. Mayor-elect Langfelder certainly has his own ideas. I've indicated that I'm willing to help in any way I can. I'm willing to offer any advice that he may ask for. By the same token, I also know that he has a father who has served as mayor of the city of Springfield for two terms that he would be relying on very, very heavily. So I'm not going to try to be offering advice unless I'm specifically asked for it.
Let me get away from city government specifically and just look at the city of Springfield and certainly the area going forward. I mean, we've seen a shift of state government jobs away from Springfield and several other positives and negatives that seem to be impacting the area. How do you see things going forward for Sangamon County and specifically more Springfield?
Well, basically, when we talk about Springfield and Sangamon County, I don't think you can divide from an economic impact, Springfield from Sangamon County, because we really are one unit. And when something good is happening in Springfield, it benefits the county. When something good is happening in the county, it's benefiting the city of Springfield. As we look at city government, we look at the fact that we are a regional medical center, that the number one employer is the medical industry in the Springfield-Sangamon County area. That is a very good thing, and that is something that we need to focus on in making Springfield a regional medical center, not only for the central Illinois area, but really going on the state of Illinois from the east to the west and actually going as far south as the state lines, with the idea that many of the people in those areas are using the St. Louis metropolitan area for major medical services. And Springfield provides a very good alternative, probably an alternative that many of those people would be more comfortable in than being in a metropolitan area such as St. Louis. So we have really, I think, a very bright future from an economic point of view, with regards to the growth of the medical community within Springfield as a regional medical center, not a matter of St. John's competing with Memorial, but really attracting new people into Springfield. I think also as we look at the University of Illinois at Springfield, it offers great growth potential for the community. You know, as you look at the campus at Urbana-Champaign, there really is very little room to expand. One of the best things that has happened to the community was when the University of Illinois took over and became what was then Sangamon State University. The enrollment there has increased tremendously, particularly in terms of grad students who can't necessarily get into the campus at Urbana-Champaign or Chicago. And I think that as we look into the future, the impact of having what I would refer to as your traditional students, that's the students that are coming right out of high school, that are attending campus on a full-time basis, really offers a tremendous growth potential to the Springfield-Sangamon County area. And this is something that I think that given the physical limitations of just ground in at the other two campuses, we have the potential for real growth here, and that can have a tremendous impact. So we've got some things that are happening here that are very, very good. We continue to attract retail business, which is extremely important given the fact that sales taxes are a major source of funding for city services here in the city of Springfield. So as we look at an outlet mall that's going to take place immediately south of Shields, that is geared not for people here in Springfield, but to bring people in from outside the community for up to 100 miles away. So, again, that's something that can have a very positive impact. The more of those types of businesses that you bring in the area, the more people you'll have coming here to do their shopping. So, you know, we've got, I think, a very, very bright future here in Springfield and Sangamon County.
Mayor, before we let you get away, what's next for you once you leave office?
Well, at my age, it may be retirement, but right now I have no plans per se. I'm just going to enjoy life for a little bit, and we'll just sort of figure things out as we come along. My focus has been to continue to focus on the city of Springfield and move it along, and that will be somebody else's focus, and then I'll begin to think about what I'm going to do in the future.